This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Friends, once again, we have Edmund Speaker. And he's discussing leadership from the inside. Edmund, you've been around and about for some time, and you've been in several different leadership positions. And lately, you're dedicating your time and your travel to encouraging and mentoring people who are in a position of leadership. So I'd like to thank you for taking the time to be back with us and share with us leadership from the inside.
Thanks, Grant. It amazes me to think that we are able to share our hearts with so many unseen people through this microphone. Thank you, dear listener, for giving us your attention and trust. Today we will talk about the vital aspect of leadership from the inside. When you observe children playing or youth interacting, you will quite easily identify if there are potential leaders among them. The behavior, actions, and reactions tell you if these children or youth are determined, have skills, and the gift of influence. You can easily recognize their leadership potential and strong personalities by the followers they are able to attract. Leaders are men and women with strong convictions and the power to influence others. A leader is someone who stands up for his ideas and is able to get others to accept them and to follow him. The Bible tells us of a man called Saul, who was a religious zealot. He wanted to please God and was ready to pay the highest price for what he understood as the law and requirement of God. He studied his religion deeply, he practiced what he preached, he was persuasive and honest, and considered an authentic leader by his peers and supervisors. He himself testified at one point that he was found blameless what the righteousness of the law concerns. If you know the Bible, you know that I'm speaking about Paul, the apostle, before he was met by Christ on the road to Damascus.
Edmund, if I remember, this encounter of Saul with Christ was totally unexpected, and I would say probably even against Paul's wishes.
Definitely.
Because he was actually persecuting those who believed in Christ, and he put them in prison. Or he had them even killed. But even in that situation, God still called him.
That's right, Scott. Actually, I want to ask you to read to us what the Bible reports about that unexpected encounter of Saul with Jesus from Acts chapter 9.
I'll be happy to do it. It's actually one of my favorite passages in Scripture because of the way God works. Now, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But now get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do."
Thanks, Scott. Just a clarification. When we read that Saul was persecuting those of the way, this means those who were following Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." For any zealot of the Jewish law, that affirmation of Jesus was highly offensive and against their conviction. They had rejected Jesus and killed him by nailing him on a cross by affirming, "We have a law, and according to our law, he must die." They now wanted to get rid of his followers as well. Unfortunately, the same is still true with certain religious zealots even today. Now, can you imagine the impact and bewilderment of Saul at this point? He became blind, was led to Damascus where he fasted and prayed until God opened his eyes and allowed him to understand that the Lord Jesus is in fact the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. Saul was a leader even before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, what type of leader was he?
Well, Edmund, in my mind, it seems obvious that Saul was a very persuasive leader. If you're ready to kill others because you believe you're right, that needs some deep convictions. But Saul was definitely mistaken, and actually at this point, an enemy of God, as he later confessed when he called himself the chief of sinners.
This is a very important point. It is not enough to have willpower, strong convictions, the gift of influence, nor if you are honest in your deepest motivation. The determining factor for the quality of leadership is a heart that is in tune with God's will. People can be very religious to the point of killing themselves and others for their convictions, but that has no value and is actually utter spiritual blindness. Saul, when he was converted to Christ and later became the Apostle Paul, wrote these remarkable words in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing.
Well, Edmund, this love Paul talks about can only be the love of God. Human goodness alone cannot produce it.
You are so right, Scott. By nature, we are unable to love as God loves. The love of God is a sacrificial love, which he demonstrated in sending his son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. When Paul was still the zealous Saul, who tried to fulfill the law by his own effort, he missed the whole point of the law. Later, when he understood, he wrote about it to the church in Galatia. He then said that the law was a tutor to lead us to Christ. In other words, the law was only a help to reveal man's helplessness to earn his way to heaven through his own efforts or righteousness, and that therefore man needs to plead for God's forgiveness. Salvation only comes through faith in God's grace and mercy. This was symbolized through the sacrifice of animals in the Old Testament. They pointed to the perfect Lamb of God, namely Jesus Christ, who through his own blood took away the sin of the world. In the same way, as one cannot pay his way to heaven, rather must accept God's grace by faith, so one cannot be a leader who fulfills God's plan and agenda as long as he acts out of his own resources and is motivated by his own convictions. Total transformation needs to be placed in his heart. Actually, the needs to surrender. Actually, he needs to surrender as Saul did to the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Well, Edmund, speaking about transformation reminds me of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. It's a real change. In fact, it's an act of metamorphosis that has taken place.
And what is new and transformed is the inside of the believer. He has a new heart and he has a new identity. Because of his faith in Jesus from lost and condemned sinner, he has become a redeemed child of God. What sin had destroyed, namely the relationship with God, is now restored. He is a new creature. As the caterpillar who dies and becomes a pupa and then finally evolves into a beautiful butterfly, so the person that is in Christ experiences a total transformation. The old sin nature, or the old Adamic nature, died. We have been born again and can choose for Christ to live his life through us. Through faith in him, we have a new identity, and the life of Christ is in us. Paul speaks about this in Galatians 2:20 when he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and now it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Godly leadership is possible as I understand who I am in Christ and surrender my will to fully obey his Spirit who now lives in me.
Well, Edmund, at this point, I would have to admit it took a long time, really, before I fully understood the difference between my self-life and the life of Christ in me.
Yes, and not only that, but this transformation, while immediate in terms of my new position and identity before God, becomes a process when it comes to the living out the will of God in practice. The Bible calls this process sanctification. We can also call it spiritual formation. The Apostle Paul wrote his epistle to the Ephesians about this in no uncertain terms. In the first three chapters, he reminded them of who they had become in Jesus Christ. Mm. Then in the last three chapters, he wrote about how they now should live as followers of Christ.
Well, Edmund, thank you for sharing with us today. And I'd like to just thank you for reminding us that leadership from a heart that reflects the will of God is possible as we allow Jesus to be our Lord and Savior.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.